Radio MD. RadioMD.com. From sobriety to self-care, it's Rewired Radio. Here's Erica Spiegelman.
Welcome, everyone. Our typical response to being diagnosed with a disease is to adopt the mindset that we will fight against it and ultimately triumph. At least that's what we hope. But embracing all parts of ourselves, even diseases that are working to recover from, that you're working to recover from, has tremendous benefits. My wonderful guest today, Peter Bedard, has a unique understanding of how powerful it can be to befriend your disease. Peter will talk to us today about how any kind of resistance can cause stress and tension, which obviously can make it much harder to recover and heal. So whether you've been diagnosed with cancer or working to recover from an addiction, a disease, it's all part of you. If we can make peace with it and place it in our lives as something with compassion that we have for this ailment, then we can make more room for kindness and you can make more room for healing. Peter, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you on to discuss this really powerful, important topic.
I'm super happy to be here. And you said it all. That's my message. Boom, right there.
Yeah. Well, I understand it because you have explained it to me, but I know that you have been working for years with people on teaching them how to befriend your disease. And I know not everybody embraces a diagnosis or embraces
Absolutely.
A bad, bad hand of cards. So how do we get people to begin this process of reframing or re-looking at it in a different way?
Sure. So people often, people often have this experience of being diagnosed with something and going into panic and fight.
Right.
They'll go into any one of the traumas, fight, flee, freeze, or hide. They'll do that. They'll have that intuitive sort of gut life-saving response. And those responses are good for the short term because they get you out of danger. But when you're talking about an addiction or a diagnosis of some sort, those responses only cause more problems. So we got to get people through those types of responses. And to say to somebody, hey, why don't you love that tumor that's killing you, can feel like something very threatening. When in fact, like you said, when we can embrace this part of us, when we can learn to love it, and when we can actually give it that love, something magical begins to happen. And it happens literally on a chemical level in our bodies. It's an energetic, chemical type of thing. Mm-hmm. And so the way I try to describe it to people is, let's say, Erica, just for the sake of the show, you're symbolic of my pain. And so you're my illness, you're my pain, you're my fear, my judgment, all that type of stuff. In other cases, it might be a tumor, an addiction, or something of that sort, right? And you're with me all the time. You're connected to me and part of me 24/7, and we're going through the world together. And I'm always saying things that are horrible to you. I'm constantly saying, excuse me, I'm constantly saying, I hate you, I can't stand you, I'm ashamed of you, I'm embarrassed of you, I want to cut you out, I want to throw you away, all of that type of stuff. Now, just in our playing this little sort of role play kind of game, how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel abandoned. It makes me feel unwanted. It makes me feel like I'm not good enough.
Exactly.
It makes bad. Everything that's negative. Yes.
Exactly. So these parts that are needing to be healed and are in deep pain, we're actually continuing that pain. We're making it even worse. We're compounding it. And I know that when I feel loved, I can do anything in the world. When I feel loved and supported, man, I can make things happen. When I feel shamed or abused, I just want to curl up in a ball and hide. Or I do the opposite, and I kind of do the oh, you think it's bad now? I'm going to really mess you up.
Right, exactly.
That middle finger comes up, and it's like, oh, yeah?
Right, exactly. But that is such a powerful analogy for people, to really mentally get there and understand that of course if something's part of you and you're moving through the world with it and you're constantly being negative and having negative thoughts, that's going to translate to it just getting worse and bigger or never getting a chance to heal. So thank you for that. That is so powerful. And so when you do talk to clients that are in that place or at that point in their life where they're just kind of coming to terms, I know a lot of people think that they have the willpower to change something, or they feel so ashamed that they don't even want to address it. They're just in deep denial, or they just keep resisting it. Is that a natural reaction that you find people, like, that's the first reaction? Or do you find that people really can start out with a loving thought?
It is a natural reaction, and it is generally the first reaction. I mean, I teach this stuff, and I still notice myself going into that sort of mode of survival. It's a part of who we are, and it's part of the survivor primitive brain. And that's something we're going to talk about later, like the difference between the brain and the mind.
Yes,
so
we will.
So going back to that role-playing idea of the you and I, and if I start loving you and I start sending you love and I start saying things to you, if you're symbolic of the pain that I'm in, and I start saying, you know what, Eric, I get that you're hurting and I get that this isn't good, and you know what, I am angry at you. This is something I didn't expect and I don't want, but I'm willing to work with you, and I'm willing to love you. And, you know, right now I'm going to practice bringing that love into you so much, because maybe you're my ankle or my knee or my broken heart or my anxiety or my compulsive, obsessive behavior. I'm going to say, what can I do to help you feel better? And even before that conversation, I'm going to, in my mind, send you love and send you loving thoughts. Our thoughts and our feelings directly affect our DNA, literally affect our DNA. And so what if I just stopped that for a moment and I just said, you know what, I get it, and I'm going to wrap you in a blanket that's this warm, wonderful, fluffy pink blanket, and I'm going to shower you in a golden light. And if I can't do that and I can't imagine that, then I'm just going to hand you the word love.
And
I'm going to send you that experience. It creates a change in you, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And this goes beyond just befriending your disease. This is befriending your pain. I mean, this is setting an intention to really comfort your pain. Comfort. So like you said, physical pain, if it's an ankle or knee, or if it's a broken heart, emotional pain. It sounds like that this kind of intention setting, it goes beyond just, you know, the physical. And it's really a lot, too, about the emotional and mental.
Right? Absolutely. You know, when we're in pain, it always exists on all levels of us. So let's take the most basic understanding of that. Let's say we have a football player, and my football player smacks up his knee, and so he's got a bad knee, and he can't play the game anymore. So now there's a physical problem that he's feeling, a pain he's feeling in his knee. But there's also the anguish in his head, where he feels like he's letting down his team, or he's trying to strategize or think about what's going to happen in the future and how the team's going to be able to play, and obsessive thinking. And then there's the broken heart of, I can't be there with my team to play out the season. And so the pain exists on all three levels of us, whether it's physical pain, whether initial injury is physical, emotional, or spiritual. You must address all three of those levels. And you have to do it really simultaneously.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, as you were saying that seems like that's the key too, is not to neglect one of those pieces. You know, if you're just physically healing yourself and you're not, you know, really healing all the trauma that probably was caused from an accident or an injury, then that's not going to heal as well, obviously, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I look at like people with weight loss, even, you know. They're fat and they want to lose the fat, and they only tend to work on one level. They work on the body level, which is diet and exercise.
Yes.
Right? But then they don't deal with that mind that's constantly perceiving themselves as the fat kid that everybody picked on, and that broken heart that happened so long ago, and you know, that has never recovered from all the abuse of being taunted or teased for being fat.
Right, and the negative self-talk, that could happen.
Exactly, Right. The negative self-talk is simply part and how we stay in our old patterning, and we're going to talk about that with a critical mind.
Well, thank you. Yeah, Peter, this is such an important discussion to have, and I really appreciate it. You can find Peter at convergencehealing.com. His new book is Convergence Healing, one of the best books out there. Go get your copy. Thank you so much. You're listening to Rewired Radio on Radio MD. I'm Erica Spiegelman. Stay well. We'll